Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, we're celebrating 40 years in the ministry. Join us as we look at the obedience, faith, integrity, love, and impact this ministry has had on the nations of the earth. Walk through time as we honor God for all He's done through Kenneth Copeland Ministries for the past 40 years.
Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Yes, it is the Believer's Voice of Victory. I know it looks a little different, but come on in. I'm Terry Copeland Pearsons, and I'm here today with my brother John and my sister Kelly, and we are enjoying something a little different as we reflect back on 40 years of ministry, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And I can say I've been here for all 40 of those. You barely eked in under the wire to make it for all 40. 41, okay. So right from the beginning, and it's a thrill to us to be able to share some background stories, some, you know, things maybe you've never heard before. In fact, I was thinking, guys, about this attic and this retro atmosphere that we have, and how, you know, people walk into a home and they see maybe it's really beautiful, and they, oh, you have the impression that their life was always that way, that their house always looked like that, when really up in the attic were the things that they started with. I remember the things that we started with when we got married, and it wasn't much, and it's hidden now. You know, we don't see it. So a lot of people think that Kenneth Copeland Ministries has always been this worldwide, powerful ministry, and TV and radio and books and CDs and music and all around the world, but that was just not the case. It started out with just nothing but a man and a woman who decided to obey God. And that simple act of obedience, not even really knowing much about how to do that, but just doing the one thing they knew to do, and that was pack it up and go to Oral Roberts University. We spent a lot of time talking about that. Now, I like to hear those stories. They help us, don't you think?
They do. You know, I love history. I love, you know, government history and other country history. But our own history, that we don't talk about very often. Sometimes you may want to forget your history. I don't know. But, you know, if we don't take, and they always say you should learn from history. And if you don't learn from history, you repeat your mistakes. But you can learn from their history. Because you know what? One thing Mom and Dad have been is very honest about their mistakes. They have laid it out on the line where they missed it, but also the things that they did right and the things that set them apart. You know, you can make mistake after mistake, but if you will determine, I'm going to obey the Lord, and He will correct you, and He'll fix it where you stay on the right track. And so as we go through these programs the next few days, I want you to really on purpose say, Lord, I lay my life before You. Correct what I'm not doing right. Show me where I'm making mistakes. I purpose to obey You. That was the thing we really got out of yesterday's broadcast, I thought, was the one thing they did was obedience. So every day I think you'll see something, maybe more than one thing, that will help you in your life to win. To, you know, everybody wants what Kenneth and Gloria have, but you know, if you want that, then you need to do what they've done. You need to do the word the way they did.
It's like those old movie serials, you know, where last time we left our hero. And so yesterday we left our hero, Brother Copeland, at Oral Roberts University, obeying God for the first time in his life. But even through that process of that semester that he was there, there were challenges that came up and opportunities to make that decision to obey or not to obey. One of my favorite stories, and I really hope I have this right, but here he is traveling now with Brother Roberts. And at that time, there were not any meetings in the world that were quite like those tent meetings. Thousands and thousands of people would come into those meetings, and Brother Roberts would preach just right from the throne of God, powerful messages. But then there was a room, whether it was in the tent or a convention center, there was a room called the invalid room. And this is where the most serious cases of people that were sick and could not manage a prayer line, couldn't manage the crowds. So they set a room aside for them. So Brother Roberts would preach, and then he would step away. And while the lines were organized in the main room, he would step back into the invalid room or the invalid tent and go back there and lay hands on people who couldn't manage those crowds. Well, the first time, I think it was, or at least early on, Dad went into that invalid room, and it hit him, what he was seeing, the magnitude of disease and cancers and how people's lives were withered away and growths, and just the smell of it was so overwhelming that he ran.
People were desperate for healing.
Desperate.
I mean, it's so available now. There's meetings and churches where they preach healing. And people will go, you know, I'm too sick to go to church tonight. It wasn't like that then.
No.
People were desperate. They were on beds. You don't really see that kind of desperation anymore. You couldn't see it on TV. It's kind of so accepted now. But back then, people were coming. This is their last hope. And they were bringing people that were at death's door. We don't really see that anymore, I don't think.
No, I think that hunger and the determination to get something from God was one of the reasons there were such outstanding miracles. But Dad, on the other hand, isn't thinking about that. He goes in the room and he's like, ugh. So he ran out of the room, ran out onto the sidewalk, and was on. He said, I don't know how I'm getting home, but I'm going home. They'll have to get that airplane home without me. And he ran, and his feet stuck to the sidewalk. The Lord just plastered his feet to the sidewalk. He's like, he told the Lord, let me go. He said, why? He said, because I don't have anything to offer those people. Let me go. The Lord said, why? Because I don't have anything to offer those people. Let me go. Turn my feet loose. Why? Because I don't have anything to give those people. And the Lord said, I do. And if you'll go in there and take, I'm on the inside of you, and take what I put in you in there to them, I'll do it. And of course, you know, right there's the choice. Do you obey or not? And Dad, thank God, he said, okay.
Well, that's where he got in there and he learned about how, from watching Brother Roberts, Dad would prepare the room, get people lined up, talk to them. Brother Roberts would then come in and lay hands on them. And Dad got to observe Brother Roberts during this time, and he saw him using his faith. He said, I do not lay hands on people until I'm ready to release my faith.
Purposely.
I'm on purpose. I don't just casually put my hands on them, but when I'm ready to release my faith, I put my hands on them. And he said he saw him use his faith like you would use a tool, like a carpenter would use a hammer or a surgeon would use a scalpel. He on purposely used his faith and released it at that time. And that at that time was watching and learning. Dad was right in the middle of it. And you know, we have pictures of Dad in there laying hands on him, on people too. And it didn't take him long to develop that faith and that boldness that Brother Roberts walked in. I believe he picked that spirit up. And it's something that, you know, as we develop in our faith, we can learn to use that faith like a tool to apply it to whatever situation we have.
The first brush I had with Kenneth was through my crusade associate, Bob DeWeese, who was also our pilot. And he said, Oral, I need another pilot. And we've just had a crack pilot enroll at ORU. What's his name? Kenneth Copeland from Fort Worth. And Kenneth ended up doing more than being a pilot. And Kenneth also became the one to prepare the invalids in special place, a special tent. As the months went by, and I saw that Ken was doing such a great job, which, by the way, was the first experience he'd ever had anything like this. And I remember once when we came to a severe cancer case, and I turned to Kenneth and I said, Kenneth, you lay your hands on this person. And Kenneth had never done that, but he was courageous, and he went over and prayed at that time the best he knew how. And I wasn't quite pleased with the strength and the enthusiasm of his prayer. So he remembers this, that in a very strong voice, I said, "In the name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, rise up and be healed." He said that was one of the most impressive things for his life and for his future ministry.
I tell you, I've been around Oral Roberts, and for him to stand right behind you or beside you and to say, "In the name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah," I'm telling you, it would impact your life forever. You would never forget it, the power of God that was in and on that man. So when Dad's there with Oral, and he's beginning to see these things happen, he's watching, like you said, John, he's watching Oral use his faith like a tool. But it's not enough just to see someone else do it. That opens your eyes to a lot of things. But you mentioned that about a surgeon using a scalpel. I wouldn't want a surgeon working on me that had only watched somebody else do it. You know, you want to be trained. You want to be taught. Well, that takes us back to what the Lord had told Dad from the beginning. Stay close to me and stay in my word. Found everything on the scriptures. I was thinking about this one in Hebrews. It says in Hebrews 13:21, about the God of peace will strengthen you and make you what you ought to be and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will. So here the Lord's told him, talking to him about worldwide ministry, worldwide vision, lay hands on the sick. I am in you. They will recover. Oral Roberts is saying, don't lay hands on people unless you're ready to release your faith. He's seeing Oral use his faith like a tool. But now how is he supposed to do that? It's not enough to know just that you should or that you can. There has to be a way. And that's where most of the church had come to at that point, is that, well, maybe you should, but we don't really know if it's God's will. We don't really know how to do that. But that was what the Lord at that moment changed everything. Dad had come home to visit Nani, his mom. He was there in the living room, and she had a tape for him. Now, we think, of course, that the old cassette tapes, no. This is pre-cassette tape. This is reel-to-reel, like this old machine we've got here. There'd be a message on one side, and then you would turn it over, rethread the tape, and listen to side two. And she gave him a message by Kenneth Hagin, "You can write your own ticket with God." And on the other side was, "You can have what you say." And for the first time in his life, he began to hear somebody actually teach on not only that you ought to have faith, that you could have faith, but exactly how to have it and what to do with it, how to release it. He said that tape, a message on that, hit him so hard it knocked him in the floor and under the coffee table. I can kind of see that happening.
Well, you know, he's talked about how when he would go to church, it'd be like, you have to have faith. And then the next Sunday, it'd be, you got to have faith. And then he was always, he said he would wait to hear what it is or how you get it. So I think faith back then, that word, it was ambiguous. It was must have been felt ethereal. I mean, we know what exactly what it is. We're so blessed. But it didn't have a hard meaning to them.
Just a religious word.
It was just a word, yeah.
But Brother Hagin started to open his eyes. And Dad said, "For the first time in my life, I saw that everything that God is, everything he's ever done, he released the power of it in his word. And I have been carrying it around in my pocket and didn't realize it." So that change right there is what opened the door, really, to the foundations of this ministry. So in Tulsa, here, how convenient, Brother Hagin was also in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So while Dad's traveling with Oral on these meetings, in between times, he's doing everything he can to hear what Kenneth Hagin has to say about faith. You know, I love the story where he went over to Brother Hagin's office and he wanted to get a set of tapes, those reel-to-reels, but he didn't have any money. But he was desperate for the word. "I've got to have this. I can't do what God wants me to do if I don't know what this man knows." So he went over and saw Buddy Harrison. You remember him talking about that, John?
Yeah, he drove his car over there, and Dad's car was not one to be real proud of. It was barely running, smoking, piece of junk, basically. And so he drives over there, but he offers his car. He said, you know, I'll give you my car for a set of tapes. And Buddy Harrison said to him, no, that'll be fine. We don't need your car. We'll give you a set of tapes. Just take your car off our lot because we're a prosperity ministry and this isn't good for our image. It's a pretty funny story, particularly to have heard him tell it, Buddy tell it. So, yeah, but you know, that message back then wasn't very popular.
It was radical.
No, it
and
wasn't.
And with some even today, it's still not very popular. But the idea that God's a good God, the idea that God wants you healed, the idea that he wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have money. He wants you to have health.
You can have what you say.
That it's not God putting sickness on you, but
that was a biggie.
That it's Satan, because people, and still people, a lot of people believe today that in the religious circle, when I say religious, I'm talking about, you know, denominational teaching still says that if you get sick, it's God trying to teach you something, which is not the case. God's not putting that on you. It's Satan putting that on you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The word's very clear about that. But back then, this was a radical message, and you didn't have television, you didn't have internet, you didn't have all the means of getting that out. You mostly heard it in person or from a reel-to-reel tape.
And Dad was so committed to getting that word and to get those tapes, that he got that set of tapes at Brother Hagen of his, and he went out to the garage and closed the door and said, call me once for dinner, and if I come in, fine. If I don't, fine. I've got to get what this man says. So with the tapes and his Bible and a notepad, he began to dig in for himself. You know, he wasn't looking for a message to preach. Mm-hmm. He's looking for something to live by, mm-hmm. looking for a way.
Survival.
Yes, to survive and to obey God. I've chosen to obey. I want to do what God wants me to do, but somebody tell me how. And here was the answer. So I just love the thought of these old reel-to-reels. I remember when, in fact, it wasn't one exactly like this one that I got for Christmas, and that was still in the days of the reel-to-reels, and play those tapes at night. You know, they set a standard for us to grow by, that we had to get it that way. And we put the tapes in. I had it playing by my bed at night, could flip it over and rethread it and start it again almost in my sleep through the night just to put that word in. But out of that came a strength that only faithfulness can produce. Faithful to listen, faithful to hear, hungry, but then faithful to do. Faithful to take what you hear, live by it, preach it. Hear it, live by it, preach it.
And you know, they haven't changed a bit.
No, they haven't.
I mean, they still listening to tapes. In fact, I was out for a jog just a few days ago, and Dad was coming down the runway, and I'd run out there sometimes. And I stopped and talked to him, and he had to stop and turn the volume down on the cassette. He still listens to cassette tape. He was listening to a Keith Moore. And so those principles, they haven't changed,
no.
For one. The faithfulness, the commitment is all still there. The principles are still true. You know, garbage in, garbage out. You put good stuff in, good stuff comes out. And they continue, and I'm sure until the Lord comes back, they will always continue to be that way. And, you know, we need to take a cue from that, because there's a lot of things hitting us. I mean, you can't hardly be anywhere without a television set being there, if you're in the airport or in an airplane or walking down the street. And so I think with all this bombardment of information, we need to make sure that we take the time and that we settle into putting that word into us, just like they did back then and just like they continue to do today.
Well, they had a lot of opposition as they were preaching this word, but Dad stayed so faithful to what he had been called to do. And because of his faithfulness, God's faithfulness then began to open things up. The Bible says, be ye faithful, even as God is faithful. And God began to open the doors up so that instead of just going places where the pastor's sitting on the platform shaking his head or church is stealing in his offerings, suddenly people are wanting to hear. They're wanting to listen. And words started to get out. There's a man Preaching Faith. I, later on, 1970, came to work for Brother Hagin. And here's how I heard of Kenneth Copeland again. I was the editor of the Word of Faith. We had 13 employees. We all had to kind of work together to get it tied and mailed out and sorted for the zip code. And I remember we were working all day one day. This old cranking machine was there that would tie, bundle them into the zip code with twine. Somebody said, somebody is preaching, a man is preaching Brother Hagin's messages. He's preaching them even by name. You can have what you say, how to write your own ticket with God. We said plagiarism. He's over in Arkansas, and we've got some of the tapes. So we said, when Brother Hagin comes in, we're going to tell him. So he came in off one of the meetings, and we told him, there's a man preaching your tapes. He's even got the same. He just like almost memorized them. And we just knew Brother Hagin was going to be furious. And Brother Hagin just looked up to heaven and he said, oh, Lord, you told me to teach your people faith. And I knew I couldn't do it by myself. And I prayed that you would raise up people to teach this faith message. Oh, Father, I thank you for doing it. I thank you for lifting up this man. I thank you for lifting up others. And we immediately said, oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. We changed our tunes. And that man was Kenneth Copeland. You know, different people are like apostles of different subjects. And Brother Hagin was like, he was given this. God spoke to him by a voice that said, go teach my people faith. I have taught you faith through experience. You and revelation, you go teach my people faith. Now, Brother Roberts was taught to bring healing to this generation. You are healed by faith. He was taught seed faith. Very interesting about Brother Copeland that he was tied closely with both of them by the Holy Ghost.
Just hearing 40 years of ministry tells me that there's been 40 years of life-changing faith that's been done and put into people's lives. Simply put, for the glory of God.
The main thing that I really appreciate is the prayer that goes up for you and for your family, and we're in covenant together, and then just that's a powerful thing.
It means that their faithfulness, Gloria and Brother Copeland's faithfulness to the Lord and their family. And I think that's awesome.
When at times I wanted to struggle or stumble and fall in struggles in my life, I would look at my partnership with Kenneth Copeland. The Lord would remind me of my heritage of faith that I have, not only my parents, but my spiritual parents, Mom and Dad Copeland, and what God has done in me through their ministry. And there's certain times that I'll look at that and I'll say, God, I thank you for the partnership, for partnering me, putting me with these people.
40 years ago, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland started a journey of faith to discover all that God had provided for them. Now, decades later, they want to share with you those first principles of prosperity they learned and have been living by ever since. The Laws of Prosperity, a book by Kenneth Copeland, is their special gift to you. It combines foundational teaching with practical insights. Get started today on your journey to God's abundance.
Request your special gift of Kenneth Copeland's book entitled The Laws of Prosperity. This faith book will reveal to you the spiritual truths that govern prosperity in all areas of your life. To receive your copy, log on to kcm.org, call our special toll-free number 888-326-0011, or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Be sure to request your copy of The Laws of Prosperity by Kenneth Copeland today.
Mom and Dad, they were just desperate for the Word, like a man in the desert would be desperate for a drink of water. And they did what it took to find the Word. And you know what? We get so used to the availability of the Word of God in our society today that we forget what it was like. They made a commitment to each other to go to these meetings that Brother Hagin was having. He had 5 10-day meetings. And they committed to go, and they went to every service without missing one, and it sleeted, and it whatever. They didn't let anything stop them. They didn't let us stop them. I slapped Brother Hagin, and they still went
they
back.
They didn't let that stop them.
They did not let that stop them. And you know what? They went to get filled up with the Word. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 5:14 that it's by training that we have this, that we receive the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. We become skillful in the word of righteousness, and that's what they did. But today we're so inundated. We're blessed that we can. There's a broadcast all the time. You can watch a word broadcast. There's churches all over the place. And yet we allow, oh, we're tired, or, you know, I don't have time, or I've got this or that going on. We've got to be hungry the way people were, and faithful to the Word. The Bible says that God is faithful to His Word. And as we put that Word in our heart and it comes out of our mouth, we give God something to work with to change our lives. So at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, it's our commitment to you to bring you the Word. But you still have to be faithful to hear it and put it in and then act on it.
It's very important for us here at the ministry to get the Word out to you. We want to make it easy as possible as we can to get the Word to you, to make it available to you. I think sometimes people take it for granted because there are so many things out there today where you can find the Word. But it's important to us. What we want to do is we want to give you this book. It's The Laws of Prosperity. This book is a foundational book that was written back in 1974. But there are laws. There are laws that are in place in this universe, just like the law of gravity. Whether you believe it or not, you know what? Gravity's here. Gravity works, and so do the laws of prosperity. And so I want to encourage you, get this book. You can go online, you can call, you can write in. It's free, postage paid. But we want to get into your hands, and the reason is because it can change your life, literally. There's been testimonies, hundreds if not thousands of testimonies from people whose lives have been changed from this book. And it's because they learn the laws. And they learn them, and even though they're there, if you're not putting them in place, then in working them, they're not going to work for you. So I'd encourage you to get this book.
I want you to remember that God is always faithful, even on this September 11. Remember, God is always faithful, and you can activate His faithfulness by being faithful yourself, faithful to take up the things that He's given you. Well, this is John and Kelly and Terry saying, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching this special edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory. To order your copy of this week's 40th anniversary celebration broadcast on CD or DVD, visit our website at kcm.org, call our toll-free number 800-575-4455, or you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Be sure to order extra copies to share with friends and family.